Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Jalen Brunson with a shot you're never going to forget.
No, you're never going to forget that for sure. And now buckle up because now come the real teams. And this is, as you pointed out earlier this morning, they are significant underdogs going into this series.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a point in last night's game before Jalen Brunson came back, and we'll talk some Knicks with you. Lines were open, 888-808-1019. There was a point in this game where I was saying they're going to get swept by the Celtics, the way that the Pistons came back in that fourth quarter and were just housing them. I said they're going to get swept. Even if they make it through this series, they're going to get swept by the Celtics.
The problem that you have is that you know the team is good. Our team is good.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way about the Mets. I know they're good, and I know it's going to be a long season, and I know they're going to have some dips in that season. I know they're going to have some injuries, but they're going to be a good team, and they're going to be in the playoffs. I believe they're going to make it to the playoffs, just like we all knew the Knicks were going to make it to the playoffs. The question is can they beat the Dodgers? You know, can they beat the Padres? You know,
in those sports, like, those teams go down. You know, I mean, last year, yes, the Dodgers were dominant, and they had all the best players and the highest payroll and everything else, and they won. But, I mean, they had the highest payroll and the best players for a number of years and got knocked off by somebody.
Hey, Arizona knocked them off when they were a wild card team and won 84 regular season games.
Absolutely. So it happens in those sports. You know, we've seen two Giants runs here where they are underdogs in every single game that they play and then go and win a Super Bowl. It's just different in the NBA. You know, and that's why, like, I was thinking about, remember we were working together, it was like the first year working together, the Minneapolis Miracle with Steph Diggs and Case Keenum. And then, like, you know, that was amazing. And then they were going into Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game, and I convinced myself that they could win that game. Even though they had no shot, they got their asses whooped.
Exactly.
I convinced myself they could win that game.
Yeah, then the next year they went to go get Kirk Cousins because that was going to be the difference maker.
And they never got back to the NFC Championship game. But the point being, to come back to the Knicks, is that, like, you have this unbelievable end of a game just like that. But yet, like, the celebration on this Feel Good Friday ends, and it ends quickly because you know that the team that you're facing, it would feels like a miracle to take them out.
Well, and the reason for that is because of what happened during the regular season. CBS Sports Network put up the graphic before that against these three top teams, they're 0-10.
Yeah.
And the disparity in points per game and the Knicks' points per game is significant. It is significant. I mean, look at that. It's 17 points.
Yeah, that is ugly.
I mean, they are 0-10 against OKC, Cleveland, and Boston. They lost by 23, 6, 10, 25, 27, 37, 13, 19, 2, and 6. They average 106 points a game, and they give up 123 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, it was the story of the season. That was the story of the regular season.
Now, I want to answer your question.
Yeah.
We opened up. We lauded Jalen Brunson, did we not?
Oh, yeah, talked
we
about.
We lauded Mikal Bridges, how great he played.
Absolutely.
We took Carl Anthony Towns to task.
Yeah, I even said, you know, I don't want to be negative, but Carl Anthony Towns, you know, it wasn't a great game, but man, you know, I said the Jalen Brunson shot, you're going to be talking about that like Allen Houston against the Heat, like the 4-point play against the Pacers, Larry Johnson.
Amazing, amazing game. And you also said that the Knicks were going to win this series in six. Did you not?
I did, yep.
And, you know, I think that we have given the Knicks the credit they deserve to get through this, and the way that Jalen Brunson has been putting out energy and how he has led this team and how he's lived up to all the expectations.
Yeah.
Would you say that is a positive take on the Knicks?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I would say that.
David in Manhattan, what do you want?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I just don't understand how negative you guys are at this point on the Knicks season.
God.
Are you guys watching the games? Are you guys even Knicks fans at this point? Sounds like you guys are Nets fans.
Oh my God.
This is getting a little ridiculous.
Nah, see, David, I can't even take you seriously. I really can't. Like, it sounds like you're Nets fans. I mean, he's probably just trolling us.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We hate the Nets. You know that we hate the Nets. Boomer says the slag nut Nets. So the Nets even still in the league. I dressed up as a leprechaun hoping the Celtics would beat the Nets when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were here. We hate the Nets. And we are excited about the Knicks. It's the reality of it. I mean, even yesterday I said, what if we just go all in and forget about everything with the Celtics and just be super positive about everything? You're like, well, I can't do that because that's disingenuous. And it's true. It's a unique feeling that I have never had as a sports fan, coming off a game like that and then going, oh, crap. Because last year, you know, they were on their way up. And when you're on your way up, you know, there's certain expectations. This was the year that they were supposed to be right there with these teams, with the moves that they made, and you still feel like they're not.
You know what it was? Leon Ray Rose, to his credit, came in, kind of assessed things, had a lot of patience.
Yeah.
A lot more patience than most GMs around here. He said, I'm going to build this team and I'm going to acquire assets. And I'm going to do this. It's going to take a little time, but I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to have so many assets that eventually I'm going to have to pull the trigger on a trade or, you know, get somebody in here that is going to fill out our team so we can compete with the best teams in the league. And he did that by acquiring Carl Anthony Towns and also Mikal Bridges. He used his assets that he had, and some of those assets, and also to acquire OG Anunoby, by the way.
Yeah.
So he took draft players that he drafted, traded those players to get OG. And then he took picks that he acquired in some of these other trades and used those to acquire Mikal Bridges. And then sent two popular players that were here, but, you know, probably reached their ceiling here in DiVincenzo and Julius Randle, knowing that in order to beat these next teams that are on the path to a championship, he's going to have to get better defensive players and another better offensive player. And I think that that's the thought process behind what Leon Rose did here. And I don't think any of us can argue about what he did.
It just hasn't worked out exactly the way he wanted it to. I mean, it's like making a meal.
These other teams just tend to be better and deeper.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. And deeper is the bigger thing. I mean, that's huge for this team. You know, there's guys, glue guys, that aren't on this team, like Hartenstein and DiVincenzo. And
those are the guys that would come off the bench normally, although Hartenstein was the guy that ended up started because of the injury to Mitchell Robinson.
Right.
Let's just take a look at this. Let's pretend that this is going to go seven games. And let's say the five starters for the Celtics and the five starters for the Knicks, you think they're going to be relatively even in terms of their offensive output?
I would hope so.
Then the difference is what's coming off the bench and who's scoring off the bench.
Yeah. I'd really like to see a just dud of a series from Kristaps Porzingis, too. That would be great.
Well, this is where if he were playing for the Knicks, he'd end up getting hurt.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
He'd have a thigh contusion or something.
He'd have a flank problem. Brian in Sea Caucus. What's going on, Brian?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey.
I just wanted to make the point that it seems like basketball doesn't have any plays. Like football, you have a running play, a passing play. It's like 5-10 guys running around with chickens without a head and, I don't know, see if somebody gets open or throw the guy. Throw up an air ball. It seems like there's no set plays in basketball.
No, there are. There are definitely set plays. And a lot of it is, you know, intuition, playing with each other for years, knowing where each other's going to be, pick and rolls, You know, constant movement, guys running from one end to the other. Some guys are set in the corner. You know, and the key is to know where everybody is on the court at the time of when it is crunch time. And, you know, like you know what the Knicks are doing. You could see Bridges is going to be in the corner and Anobi's going to be in the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
Karl-Anthony Towns probably going to be out by, you know, maybe foul line extended or something. And then Jalen Brunson's going to be running off of a pick and roll either of him or Mitchell Robinson or Josh Hart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tibbs has left something to be desired with some of his out-of-timeout inbounds plays for sure. That's just been a thing that has followed him around since he's been the coach. It hasn't hurt him that much, but there are times where you're a little bit confused as to what they're doing. But, yeah, I mean, you saw some real ball movement and some real offense in Game 3. And last night you saw in crunch time just Jalen Brunson having to take the entire game over, especially because Karl-Anthony Towns had fouled out at that point. But it was all in Jalen Brunson's hands. So, yeah, I mean, when you've got a star who is that clutch, who's your point guard, and he's now tied for the most 40-point games in Knicks playoff history.
Which is crazy. And he's got 2 years here. You know, the one thing I will say is that, you know, whether it be Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, those guys took the ball in their hands late in games and would go make plays. Sometimes they would pass it off to a teammate that was wide open, but most of the time they were driving to the hoop, they were trying to get a foul, and they were going up and getting a basket. When their team needed it, those guys went and got it. And that's what Jalen Brunson is doing. He's doing that part of it. If there is a criticism that is thrown at LeBron James, is that when he is in that situation, more often than not, as he is going, he may be doubled, he's willing to pass it.
Yeah, I mean, the shot, the biggest shot that was taken in the Cleveland championship that he finally delivered to that city was from Kyrie Irving because he decided to give up the ball.
Which is okay. I mean, and it's fine.
Well, that's the point, is that it worked.
And you had another superstar that you were passing it to. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, is that if it's the end of the game and it's under 2 minutes, Jalen Brunson's going to have the ball in his hands. And he's going to have to create something. And there'll usually be a high pick and roll. I mean, there were a couple of pick and rolls last night where, I mean, there were guys being tackled.
Yeah. I mean, I also think you can't win in that situation unless, like, so if you're Jalen Brunson, you hit the shot, you can win. But if you're Jalen Brunson and you miss the shot, you're like, he's ball hog, he passed the ball. And then if he passes the ball and then the other guy misses the shot, why aren't you taking a shot? So that shot always has to be you, and it always has to go down, or you're going to get criticism both ways. You should have passed it, or you shouldn't have passed it.
Well, to me, I mean, this team, the biggest problem that they have is the lack of bench scoring as we speak right now.
Well, and then defending the three-pointer and defense overall, I think, is a huge problem.
But they're getting nothing from their bench. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the one game from campaign.
Yep.
That was it.
Game one.
Yeah, I mean, and he was awesome. And since that point, have they really gotten much?
No. Dan in Scarsdale, what's going on, Dan?
Hey, guys. Quick question. I'm wondering whether the main problem here with the Knicks is the coaching. That Tibbs really isn't the right guy for the team, and they need to somehow get someone that is more in tune with what the Knicks need to do. And I ask that because I look at a team like OKC, and I feel like they have one true superstar. And we've got more than that, yet we're not producing like we need to be.
Well, I mean, look at the Cavaliers as well. I mean, they're built sort of in a similar way. You know, and they've got really, really good players, but it's not like, you know, the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh teams by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's no doubt that a Tom Thibodeau team is not built like this. That is for sure. And the Pistons are more of a Tom Thibodeau team than the Knicks are. And if they end up getting like completely wiped out in this series, maybe there is a conversation about him. And it's not necessarily even his fault. And I know Leon Rose consults with Tom Thibodeau, but maybe it's just the team at this time would need a new voice and someone just a little bit different, especially if there's coaches out there that are available that you wouldn't expect. Now, you see what's going on with the Rangers. There was a guy who won a couple of cups in Pittsburgh. He was there for 10 years, got a little stale. The fact that an NHL head coach is anywhere for 10 years is amazing. The Rangers' job is open. All of a sudden, mutual parting of ways, big contract.
Yes.
Could something like that happen with Eric Spoelstra?
Mike Malone.
Yeah, I know. Malone's already fired, but I don't know. From the Knicks insiders that we talked to, the Knicks insiders,
yeah,
they don't feel like Malone is well-liked in the building enough to be the guy. So
yeah, I mean, the reality is that those other three teams at the top of the top-tier teams, that's what I would call them, top-tier teams.
Top-tier teams.
Yeah. I mean, they're deeper than the Knicks. That's all there is. And the question is Tibbs going to go to his bench and use his bench more in this series? I mean, he has relied on his starters. And I know the other teams play their starters just as much. It's just that the Knicks don't seem to get great point production from the bench.
Let's go to Merrill in Oceanside. What's going on, Merrill?
Good morning, you guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Feel Good Friday. Merrill, what's up?
Hi. I was coming to that question that you just were mentioning. I don't understand. The whole series, he didn't put in Precious Achiuwa at all. And Precious Achiuwa was very involved during the regular year. You know, somewhat. You know, like, it doesn't make sense. Is he punished or something? Is he benched?
No.
You know?
It's all about matchups and trust and defense and physicality. I mean, I'm sure Tibbs has his reasons. But, you know, Merrill, you're speaking right to me because I said this last year, and everybody took it the wrong way. I'm not saying that he's got to be out there playing 30 minutes, but you got to give the guy some skin in the game, please. I mean, everybody, like, you practice, you play, you're out there, you play the whole season, guys get hurt, let me turn to you, you're the guy that's got to go in there. And then when it becomes this time of the year, all of a sudden the guy's tied to the bench. And I tried to explain that from Wally Zerbiak's perspective and how he understood it as a player. Precious is not a guy that's going to be yapping and screaming and yelling and bitching and complaining. That's not who he is.
No.
Now, he may do that once the season is over and say, hey, you know, if I'm not good enough to here to, you know, to play in the playoffs, my coach doesn't want to play me, then what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you may see him a lot in this series coming up. You just don't know. But for this particular series against the Pistons, he felt like he wasn't worth putting in the game. But, I mean, Merrill is speaking your language right there, boy, on a Feel-Good Friday.
I'm trying to be realistic. You know, I'm like, I don't want him out there for 30 minutes, but, you know, you got to give him something. You know, give somebody a break. I mean, like, just Josh Hart, I mean, he just goes 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what he does, though. You know what I mean? That's his game. And he's conditioned. He does it. Well, I mean, just keep him doing what he's doing. Get a bunch of rebounds. Be the energy. Dean in Norwalk. What's going on, Dean?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, what's up, Dean?
A lot of the criticism on Tibbs is justified. I don't think Coach Brunson is any good as a tactician. If you notice, though, the turnaround with the Cavs and the fall of the Knicks with the way their offense is run, it's Johnny Bryant going to the Cavs. That's the reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting take. And he is the, like, assistant head coach, I think, now for the Cavs under Kenny Atkinson. And he was with the Knicks prior to that. I mean, it's something I hadn't heard of and hadn't thought of. I'm usually not thinking about assistant coaches, quite frankly. But, you know, there may be something to that. I mean, I know you got a couple of guys on there with a ton of experience. And
but, Rick, I mean, Darius Garland has taken his game to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Mo Cheeks is on that Knicks staff back there doing his thing.
Right.
Big Maurice Cheeks.
But you know how, like, certain guys grow up right before your eyes and all of a sudden find their game and feel comfortable, no matter what sport we're talking about? It's usually about quarterbacks when we're talking about that.
Sure.
But Darius Garland has taken his game to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I mean, he has. And then just with the two big guys playing as well together as you could possibly imagine, it doesn't necessarily work like that all the time when you put two big guys like Mobley and Jared Allen together. But the two of them are just two peas in a pod, and it's just working out great. It's just one of those teams. It just fits perfectly. And they're going to be a tough, tough out no matter who they face. And right now, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, they're the best team in the East. I mean, you can't tell me it's the Celtics the way that the Cavaliers have played.
Yeah, and it's interesting because now you have Indiana and New York having to play these two teams.
Yep.
And, you know, can one or the other upset two of the best teams in the league.
It's a shame that Tyrese Halliburton's dad has been banned from the rest of the games because we could have gotten him out there, you know, maybe a little.
Get in the face of, I don't know, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, get in the face of him, maybe, you know, throw a punch, something like that.
Quite frankly, I'm not worried about that series right now. I'm looking at one series, one possession, one quarter, one half, one game. That's how you got to take it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A little fog out there this morning, some smoke on the water, but Jalen Brunson is going to get that sunshine out for you as you wake up and head into work. If you are a Knicks fan, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. As the Knicks move on to the second round of the postseason, an incredible, unforgettable shot in Game 6 in Detroit by our hero, Jalen Brunson. Jerry is here to tell us all about that and more. What's up, Jerry?
And we are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So I gave you the Mike Breen version of the sequence last hour. This hour we hear the great Ian Eagle on TNT. And once again, we will start with the Mikal Bridges tip-in. To get this game even, the Knicks were down 7 with 2:35 to go in this game, and they end the game on an 11-1 run. This was part of it.
Brunson, the jumper. Doesn't go. Bridges the tip in. Tie game. 35.6 left.
So 35 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. The Knicks get the stop the other way on Cade Cunningham. They get the ball back. And so where do you think this ball is going? By the way, they were chanting flopper last night.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, arena. We heard that. But let me ask you a question. We've had some people call in this week. Oh, Cade Cunningham's better than Jalen Brunson. What are we thinking right now?
Well, that Jalen Brunson right now in his career is better than Cade Cunningham, but Cade Cunningham's a pretty damn good player as
well.
He's
a great player, and he'll only get better. But right now, this moment.
Well,
here is Brunson making the biggest play of the night, or shot of the night.
Thompson digging in defensively, 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime, launches. Oh, yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it.
Put them up 116-113 again. Ian on TNT. All that was left for the Knicks to win this game with 4 seconds to go was going to be a big defensive stop or have the Pistons make a mistake, and they certainly got the latter.
Movement. Beasley. Harris falls down. Hardaway back for Cunningham. Swing it. Off the hands of Beasley. Out of bounds. Pistons turn it over.
Now, love Ian. Point four. Because he's really he's into it. I feel like when he's doing a net game, it's like a minor league game.
Is there any reason for that? Is there any need for that?
Just sounds.
Is there
like
any need
really
for that? We used you for 5 first-round picks for this player who had a tip in last night.
He had a great game last night.
He did have a great game. He's also disappeared in a lot of games too.
What does it have to do with Mikal Bridges?
I don't know. What does the Nets have to do with this conversation?
Well, Ian does the Nets on
and he does national radio for national TV for the TNT
and
for
I
the
have
basketball.
To say that I could hear the passion in his voice in these games.
He's had plenty of passion in his voice when the Nets win big games too. That's a cheap shot you took there.
What do you think?
It's a cheap shot.
I think sometimes when you put those Nets games on, it sounds like he's giving a eulogy.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Just a little different tone.
Don't you worry about your team winning the Stanley Cup for the first time since 1994.
I mean, just relax, kid.
That was a cheap shot. I'm defending Ian. That wasn't right.
I am saying nice things about Ian.
Ian loves his Nets.
I love the way that sounded.
That was rude.
Oh, yeah.
That was rude. That was uncalled for.
I mean, I don't think he said one oh, yeah, in 10 years as a Nets broadcaster.
Yes, he has. No, now you're getting silly.
There's been like 3 or 4. It's not fair.
Yeah, I guess Kevin Durant hit a couple game-winning shots.
And, yeah, they were about an inch away from advancing.
You think he wants to come back to the Nets?
No, he's going to come destroy your team. KD to the Knicks. Either that or Giannis. There was video of Giannis in Manhattan yesterday with his family. So a lot of people.
I don't know how they pulled
that
off, though.
Giannis is a big Breitling influencer.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's moving to New York or lives here in the offseason, but people are equating Giannis very quickly in New York to he wants to be a Knick.
Of course, now all of a sudden everybody wants to be a Knick.
Yeah, I really want Durant here.
We went from nobody wants to be a Knick to now everybody wants to be a Knick.
And if we're lucky, we get James Harden too.
Come on, stop.
Just kidding. Here was Shaq on TNT after the win praising Brunson.
Growing up being a fan, you watch the superstars do great things. And Brunson showed us what a superstar looks like tonight.
Sure did. 40 points on the night, 15 of 30. That's the problem. I like him. It's difficult.
How could you not like him?
I just said I like him.
I know, but how could you not like him?
Right, well, that's not an issue because I do like him. I don't know why
I'll tell you how you don't like him. If you're a Pistons fan and you think he's a flopping and then he just beats you single-handedly in a series, you probably hate his guts.
But he just seems like a nice guy.
Well, he is a nice guy.
Amazing. 5 out of 6 games, 30 points or more.
Whew. Well, and then go back to what he did last year in the postseason, yes. Even in that series loss. Here was Tom Thibodeau on the Brunson 3.
The Jalen shot, what can you say? You know, timely, you know, he's at his best when his best is needed. He's done it all year. That's what makes him special.
And in terms of that shot and what Mikal Bridges saw and what he was thinking?
I just thought was just hopefully you get some separation. And once he got separation, then, you know, I knew it was curtains. You know, when he shot it and made it, I felt like I made it. I was so geeked up. So you would thought I hit the game winner.
I mean, he's already got 7 games at 40-plus points in playoffs. Wow. He's tied with Bernard King, man.
That's right.
And you know, Bernard King's a legend.
Damn right.
So this is a legend in the making.
Yeah. I think that was the back page of one of the papers, actually.
What's that?
Legend.
Oh, really?
Or something. Maybe it was. Something. Or maybe I just made that up. Yeah. Either way.
He is a legend
in the making. Yes.
OG Anunoby at 22, Carl Anthony Towns 10 and 15. Here was Cade Cunningham for his team. It's over.
The media one is disappointment. We felt good about the series, so. You know, to not pull it out hurts. But that feeling will stick with us throughout the summer and our workouts and conversations and everything. We'll be back and better.
0 for 8 from 3-point range.
Yeah, wow.
Tough from beyond the arc, as they say.
Tough when you touch the money, Jerry.
So the Knicks, I suppose so, yeah. And the Knicks 0-4 against Boston this regular season, though the last time they played was the overtime game. And they will get their crack at them starting Monday night up at TD Garden in the conference semifinals. And who is this version of James Harden? 28 points, 8 assists. Clippers beat the Nuggets 111-105, even up the series at 3-3. Harden on TNT post-game saying just did what was necessary.
Be aggressive. The winner go home. So a lot of opportunities to be aggressive, and I took them. You know, I mean, we did a good job of game planning, see what we needed to make corrections on, and did it. So one more game.
But in the past, as you've said, winner go home, go home.
Yeah, no, he's very aware of winner go home. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm going to bet all his unders for game 7.
For game 7 to go home?
Yeah, he doesn't want it to go to the second round. Like, it's one thing. It's like, oh, hell, we'll go to game 7 in this series, fine. But it's like, because he didn't want, he's going to go on the road. He's going to be thinking about traveling again, going back to Denver. He's going right to Vegas from Denver. Yeah, I mean, this is his story arc every single year. And it ends in a Las Vegas strip club.
I suppose it might. The Diamondbacks beat the Mets on Thursday afternoon 4-2. Home runs from Perdomo and Tawa. Zach Gallen, 6 innings for the win. Now, in the loss, 2 solo home runs from Juan Soto, who says going to left center tells me a lot about my swing.
When I'm hitting the ball well that way, I feel things just start getting better for me on the plate. And I start seeing the ball better and deeper, and it's a good sign.
It sure was, and certainly looked more like the player we saw with the Yankees last year. In terms of the starting pitcher, Kode Senga, not much length at all. 4 innings. He took the loss, being charged with 1 run. The problem was he had no command, and as he says here through a translator, the forkball left him.
Not just that pitch, but I didn't have great feel overall today. The good pitches were good, but the poor ones were significantly poor.
Yeah, only 50 of 87 pitches went for strikes, and so the Mets fall to 21-11. One thing, I don't know if this was yesterday or the night before, but, I mean, you want to talk about just ratting out a player after you're telling a story. This was Gary and Keith, and Keith was talking about players that notoriously were known for going out the night before games or maybe even the night before starting games. And, boy, he turns on this guy very quickly.
I knew a couple pitchers, and I won't mention their name, that I played with and against that went out before the night they pitched. They couldn't sleep, believe it, and they were veterans. One of the American League Cy Young.
Now you're teasing us.
Pete Vukovic.
You would be terrible under the bright lights in an interrogation room. You'd give it up in 10 seconds.
That's actually pretty funny.
That's phenomenal.
So there you go. Mets are in St. Louis tonight. Clay Holmes and Sonny Gray are the starters on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio. At 8:15 p.m., the Yankees home for Tampa tonight. Max Fried, the start It's on the Fan at 7:05. Eagles GM Howie Roseman was on Sirius Radio with Adam Schein. He was asked about, remember the old Hulk things, you know, don't make me angry. And I listen to Howie Roseman. It's really ticked off if you start asking him about the conversation that surrounds the legality of the tush push going forward.
If I was in your shoes, Coach Sirianni's shoes, I would be so aggravated by this. And just for full disclosure, look.
Adam, you don't want to fire me up right now. Please. You're stoking the flames.
I won't stoke the flames. I'll throw some water on it. Simon, give me a fire extinguisher. I didn't mean to do that, Howie. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. So obviously that gets going.
Thinking about the way that Adam talks and what he sounds like, he'd be great at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his
case. Blue 42. Blue 42, bag it, loser. Said, hit it. Omaha.
Yeah. Oh, man. You want to throw some support to the afternoon program?
Of course.
Sure, yeah.
You guys hear the, I got a bunch of people on social media hit me up with this about the bad tiki yesterday.
Okay.
So, just to be clear, this is AI across the board. They were having some fun at Shador Sanders' expense.
Yeah, and this is not Tiki, nor does Bad Tiki's views reflect the real Tiki's views.
So this is AI Shador Sanders getting pranked by AI Bad Tiki.
Hello, it's me, undrafted AI Shador Sanders. Legendary. Who is this? I wonder what coach or general manager this is to draft me very early in the NFL draft. I hope it's the Giants or the Steelers. That would be cool. Legendary.
Hello, AI Shador Sanders. I'm looking for Joe. Is Joe there?
Joe who?
Joe Mama. Got him. Take that undrafted Shador. You punk. Keep waiting, you bum.
Come on, Bad Tiki. I'm waiting on an important call. You're messing up my live stream, legendary.
Okay. Jesus. So then God. You get reaction from Evan with AI Bad Tiki.
That was a good one, right, guys?
Bad Tiki, this just seems wrong. Why would you do this?
Hold that thought, you freak who makes pee-pee in a red Solo cup and pours it in the sink.
Then this one, this is a little long, but I did think this one was quite creative.
Okay.
They have AI Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
pranking AI Shador Sanders.
AI Aaron, it's your turn.
Thanks, Bad Tiki. I got a good one for his ass.
Wow. Hello, legendary.
Shador, it's me, AI Aaron Rodgers. I was just sipping my sun-brewed organic kombucha tea and meditating while sitting crisscross applesauce on the very edge of a dangerous waterfall when my third eye suddenly opened. I was contacted by a higher entity with a question for you from the upper cosmos of consciousness. Have you considered thinking about D's?
D's what? AI Aaron Rodgers?
D's nuts on your face. Got him. No one wants you. Not even.
And that's pretty good. Anytime you squeeze in a D's nuts joke, I'm all in.
And then the last one would be AI his dad, Dion, pranking his son, AI Shador.
Bad Tiki, you got to cut this out now. Get AI Shador on the phone right now. We are going to make this right.
Hello, legendary.
Son, it's me, AI Prime. We're going to put an end to all of this nonsense right now. But first, let me ask you something. I just got off the phone with Coach Bofa. He said he wants to take you with the next pick. Do you know who Coach Bofa is?
Oh, hey, Dad. No, I don't know who Coach Bofa is. Who is Coach Bofa?
Bofa D's nuts. Bad Tiki, this is too easy, man. I see why you like it so much.
Sounds like them, too.
I know, it really does. Yeah, no,
if you get the cadence a little bit better... I mean, my God, the Aaron Rodgers one's almost spot on.
Yeah, that was the best one out of all of them, was the Aaron Rodgers one.
Actually, the Shador one's pretty good.
Yeah, legendary.
So, yeah, there you go. You can go to the Odyssey app and you can get the whole thing.
Two D's nuts jokes in there.
Yes.
That is the respect.
Pretty good. Multiple reports say the Rangers are on the verge of hiring Mike Sullivan as the new head coach. He was just let go by the Penguins, as we know. You had the Avalanche beat the Stars last night, forcing a seventh and decisive game. Oilers, Golden Knights, Leafs all won and move on.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, can I answer your question? You know, tomorrow is the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
We got a 50-50% chance of rain, or 50-50 chance of rain.
Yeah, how about this? How about we tease?
That's what I was going to do.
We will tease our horse from the horseman.
We got the horse guy gave us our pick.
So horse guy, we will give you horse guy's pick before Jerry Recco's update in the 8 o'clock hour. So right around 8:25.
I was just gonna say I was gonna ask you before we get to who that horse is around 8:25.
Yeah.
Is he a mutter?
I mean, is it a lock that it's gonna rain?
50-50.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trusting horse guy on this. Don't know if it's a mutter. Don't know if his mutter was a mutter.
I hate when it rains there because all the women look so beautiful with the hats on and everything.
Yeah.
You want a beautiful sunny day.
You do, especially if you're there. But it looks great on TV when it's a beautiful sunny day. So you're probably not going to get that. But yeah, I don't think that horse guy doesn't seem to think that the weather conditions will affect this particular horse. Now, last year, horse guy gave us the winner.
He did.
So
did he do that 2 years ago too?
I don't think it's 2 years in a row, no.
I felt like it was 2 years in a row, but last year we did get the winner, but that winner was not a favorite, right?
No, it was like a 30-1 shot or something like that. It was a long shot.
I was brushing up last night on the lingo. So, you know, at 8:25, I'll be able to drop some, you know, horse lingo.
You got some horse lingo.
I was working on it because I knew we were going to end up having to talk about it.
Just give me one horse lingo word you were working
furlough.
On.
Furlough.
Wow. Okay. It's furlongs, I think.
Or furlong, whatever. Yeah, there you go. See,
I furlough is a different thing.
No.
Yeah. Furlong.
Furlong.
Yeah, yeah.
Got another one? Thank you. Thank you for straightening me out, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, see, yeah. No, listen,
I'm not an expert.
Neither am I, but I have bet on horses. I do enjoy it. But I'm not an expert.
I remember betting on one horse for the Kentucky Derby. I won, and I put a lot of money on the horse.
This last year?
No, many years ago.
1988, winning
somewhere
colors.
Around there. Yeah, somewhere around there. I don't know when did Ali Sheba win?
Wow.
That would be the year. And I remember going into an OTB to do it,
and this was the Derby,
I believe so.
87.
Okay, 87. There
won
you go.
Two legs of the Triple Crown.
What's that?
Won two legs of the Triple Crown that year.
Won the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yep, 1987.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. A lot of money.
Yeah, it was coming off of the 86 season, going into the 87, which ultimately ended up being a disaster season because it was a strike season. So it was the spring of 87.
So that money came in handy.
Yes.
Thank you, Ali Sheba. And thank you, Horse Guy, for providing another pick that we will give you about a half hour from now. Right around 8:25 before Jerry Recco's update. Frankie is in Yonkers. What's going on, Frankie?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Great, Frankie. What's up?
Just want to touch on the Knicks last night. You know, ecstatic about the outcome of the game. Not loving the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, we're up 11 points, then going with a 16-point swing, or 15-point swing, I should say. Karl Anthony Towns. When I look at the offseason acquisitions, I mean, granted, he got 15 rebounds last night. I'm just looking at the box score. But, I mean, the guy only put up 10 shots, only scored 10 points, fouled out of the game. I mean, this guy's he has to be a presence. If we want a shot against Boston, he has to be a presence. If he plays like that, we're going down 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, or even a sweep. I agree wholeheartedly. I said something similar this morning. And also, Bridges needs to play a game like he did last night. He needs five of those games. In this series, and Karl Anthony Towns, you acquired him to be able to beat the best teams in basketball. And it was also supposed to help Jalen Brunson, who didn't have to put the entire team on his back. And in a elimination game, he's out of the game, fouled out 10 points, and Jalen Brunson's got the team on his back. That wasn't the plan. The plan was for Karl Anthony Towns to dominate as well. And we saw that. We saw it in Game 3. Little in Game 4 as well, a little bit, but Game 3 especially, he's got to be that guy. Has to.
Well, I can't imagine that this series against the Celtics will be the way that the Detroit Pistons were going at him.
Yeah.
Now, I just don't. I don't think that's going to be the way it's going to go down, so I think he's going to have more opportunities, maybe a better matchup for him here. I got to believe that. But there was a caller who was on the, you know, on the line that dropped, and I don't know if it was a woman or a man, but anyway, they had a great idea, and I was thinking about this morning when I woke up. If I were to put a freezer in a jersey in a freezer, like whose jersey should we put in the freezer? I mean, like, do you put Tatum's jersey in a freezer?
Yeah, I think so. Let's Tatum.
I did put Ovechkin's jersey and Crosby's jersey in the freezer.
It's either Tatum, Brown, or Kristaps. One of those three.
See, I think like Tatum is so good
that you can't. The freezer's not going to work.
If I put
on
it
him.
In there for Porzingis, maybe there's a thigh contusion or something.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Or maybe just stinks in a series.
Could be a cramp in a calf or something.
Yeah, you think the freezer would give him cramps?
I'm looking at this. I'm trying to think.
You said this is a series that's going to come down to the bench, so you got to get a bench guy. A key bench guy.
Peyton Pritchard.
Pritchard, got to be Pritchard, right?
Anybody who is like jumping on the bandwagon of the Knicks and going to watch this series that doesn't know Peyton Pritchard,
you're going to find out who he is.
You're going to hate his guts by the end of this series.
So you think he's definitely the freezer guy?
If you're going a bench guy, yes. I still think you might want to go with one of their superstars.
I think it's got to be Kristaps.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm fine with any of those. You take out any one of those guys that we mentioned, I'm good with it. But I think you got to choose correctly. And by the way, the touch the money thing really, really came to a head with the Detroit Pistons.
Yes, exactly.
In a big way. Cade Cunningham guaranteeing game 7, 0-for-8 from 3. Missed a critical shot in the fourth quarter that allowed the Knicks to win. Malik Beasley, we're the more mentally strong team. End of the game, ball right through his hands.
So much for being mentally strong.
You can't do it. You can't touch the money. It's going to come back to bite you in the ass. So don't do it. If you're a Knick player, coach, fan, don't do it.
Well, the Knick, we're not going to do it because we're going to be underdogs. We're huge underdogs.